Hope City Church. Oh, the Bible says he's great and greatly to be praised. I'm just looking for a church in Pennsylvania that's still got a praise. I wondered if there's some people in the room that God has ever done anything for you that you have decided that he's worthy for your shout. He's worthy of your praise and your proclamation this morning. I've been taught by my pastor, Dr. Rod Parsley, you see that the atmosphere of expectancy is the breeding ground for a miracle. I wondered if you take just about 5 seconds and notify heaven that you've got expectation in your spirit this morning that God is certainly going to move in our midst. Hallelujah. I believe that honor, look over at your neighbor and say, honor. It's the language of heaven. I believe it's the only currency in heaven is honor. I believe those that have no honor have no heaven. And I think we should honor the tremendous man and woman of God, the Epperlys, for what they have done for the kingdom of our Christ. 10 years, Hope City Church. Nearly 90% of church plants will die within 3 years, yet here you are because of the anointing that rests upon their life. And to take the gospel into the homes of millions around the world through Pioneer Christian Television. And now to know that from this place, as it was announced last night, to have a contract with the Armed Forces Network that the gospel is going to go onto military bases around the world and reach America's heroes. I believe we ought to give heaven some adoration for what significance this place is doing. I was a young boy ready to take my life. The enemy had spoke death into my ear, and I turned on the television as a young boy and heard the voice of Dr. Rod Parsley because someone put him on television. And can I just tell you that suicide is going to be canceled by the thousands and thousands because of this ministry. There are young people that are going to hear a voice that'll change their life forever. And so before you're seated, I greet you on behalf of a general to many generations. He hates when I say that. He says that makes him feel old. And I say, well, but there's not a generation on the earth that has not been impacted by the life and the voice of Dr. Rod Parsley. And he sent me here to send his love and to release the anointing that is on his life into this room. He loves your pastor so very much. I can't tell you how many times he said, look at this of what God is doing through Pastor Epperly and his precious wife and Hope City Church and Pioneer Network. God is good. Amen? Amen. Did you enjoy Valor Christian College singing this morning? You see, this is not just some liberal arts school. In fact, there's nothing liberal about our school at all. This is a school that is raising up world changers. And you see, they don't just have fire in their praise. They've got fire in their life. They are indeed world changers that are changing the world. And you say, well, how are they doing that? Well, let me just give you a little bit of what God has done through Valor Christian College. It's significant for an announcement that we're going to make this morning. I could tell you things like there is a street in downtown Columbus that is called, has been called Prostitute Alley, but Valor Christian College has went and won so many prostitutes to Jesus in the streets of Columbus, they've recently renamed it Jesus Alley. I mean, you ought to shout like God's about to rename some streets in your city and there's about to be a Holy Ghost invasion. I could tell you stories of how there are so many strip clubs that have been permanently shut down as a result of Valor Christian College. And you say, well, how did they do that? Well, they didn't go with signs and billboards and protests. They went with hope. Come on, somebody. They went with the gospel, the good news, and they won so many ladies to Jesus that they had to shut the place down because they couldn't keep them employed anymore. You see, that's kingdom advancement. That's world changers. And we're so excited because your pastor, while he's had a heart that from this place he would take the voices of Pentecost around the world, it is also a desire in his heart to bring what's in Columbus, Ohio, right here to Lancaster, Pennsylvania. And so we're excited that we are going to collaborate and we're going to partner and we're bringing Valor Christian College to Hope City Church. We're going to have a campus cohort right here together where people in Pennsylvania can come, join the classroom, receive the anointing, and together we're going to change lives. I believe you ought to thank God that Brother Epperly did it again. He gave birth to a church, he gave birth to a network, and now he's going to give birth to a college cohort campus right here in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. We stand united. You see, he has dug a well, and the water that is in Columbus is about to invade right here at Hope City Church, and we are better together. You see, alone we're a voice, but together we are a force, and we're about to paralyze some principalities in Pennsylvania and declare that Jesus alone is King and Sovereign. Somebody ought to shout on this Sunday morning. Amen. Well, you can try and be seated. If you are blood-bought Holy Ghost filled, I don't know that you'll stay that way today. But we are so excited for the partnership between Valor Christian College and Hope City Church. And my best friend of 35 years is here with me this morning. He travels the country with me. He's one of the greatest preachers, Christian content writers I've ever known. Blake Rice, he works for Valor Christian College. And thank you. Now, Pastor Epperly, when I tell this story, make sure you cut it out and don't put it on TV. But we fly around the world together, and we were recently on an airplane, and he was sitting by the window, and I was in the aisle, and there was a lady in between us, and we were talking, and she said, "Sir," she said, "if you all want to talk, I can change your seats." And I said, "I've been with him for 35 years. I can handle a little space." And Blake real quickly said, "We're married. We're both married. It doesn't mean we've been together like that." Amen. And so he had to set that straight. Glory to God. But he's here this morning, and on the way out, you can see him, and he'll give you information about Valor Christian College and what we're going to be doing together. I got a tremendous friend in City Harvest Network. He was one of the greatest politicians that our country has ever had. He was a personal advisor to former presidents, but he heard a message about legacy, and he was convicted and said, "I want my legacy not to be about politics. I want it to be about the gospel." He resigned from politics and become one of the greatest preachers, and one of my brothers, Councilman Ephraim, that is here from New York. Would you honor this mighty man of God? And then, of course, Bishop Dal Joseph, that is here with me, that is helping for us to link arms in Pennsylvania with some great preachers. I love these guys. I never travel without reinforcements with me. Hallelujah. Well, I believe that if you are connected to Dr. Rod Parsley and you're connected to World Harvest Church, that means that if God has given a word from pastor to those of us in Columbus, it's also a word to you right here in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. And it is my job as an ambassador to come out and simply echo what God has given to the general of generals that is still upon the earth. And he has apostolically and prophetically declared that the year of 2025, it is a kairos moment. It is a divine opportunity. It is an opportune season. It is a moment where God has double grace and double favor that is available to every Bible believer. And if you're here today and you say, "I'd like to have some more grace and I'd like to have some more favor in my life," I invite you to take just a moment and shout now that I want some of God's grace increase in my life, and I want an increase of God's favor in my life. You see, I have come on a sacred assignment, not simply with talking points for people. I've come with some declarations that will silence some devils. I've come with an announcement from an apostolic figure to declare that this is the season of double grace and double favor. You see, it's not simply a grace that covers your past. God has a grace that doesn't just deal with your mess. It is a grace that will get you into your miracle. There is a grace that doesn't just deal with what's in the past. It propels you into your future. And there is a favor that doesn't just crack open the doors. It swings it open wide. And I'm here to prophetically declare and to release over this house that it is a season of grace and favor, and you should get ready, for God is about to give you a Proverbs chapter 3 inheritance that you're going to have favor with God and with men. You see, you're about to realize that you have a covenant with God. Deuteronomy 28 says that you're blessed when you walk in, and you're even more blessed when you walk out. That you're blessed in the city and you're blessed in the country. The scripture says that God intends to serve you your portion of grace and favor in the presence of your enemies. I got some enemies, and I love that God intends to give them a front row seat to every blessing that he's ever intended to place on my life. You see, God didn't say that he's going to give you your grace and favor in the presence of his enemy, though he has some. No, God says through the psalmist that it is the intent of God to bless you in front of your enemies. That means every naysayer. That means every manipulator. That means everyone that ever whispered a word against you that they thought you would never hear is going to get to see a front row to the demonstration of God's favor and God's grace in your life. You see, he's about to invade your story with his glory. He's about to show up and show off. Turn the table, and in front of everyone that ever said you couldn't, they're going to see that you can. Oh, the bank that denied you the loan is going to have to take the money that's in your hand and put it in your account, because God is a God of provision and going to give you the favor. The doctor that gave you the diagnosis is going to have to declare you're healed, because God is giving you grace and favor in this season. I come to tell you that if God be for you, who could ever stand against you? He said, in the presence of your enemy, I will give you a double portion. You see, double is significant. You got to see this, that there you are sitting at the table with all of your enemies. All of those murmuring, gossiping, you're sitting right there with them. And in the presence of sitting with all of them that have ever schemed against you, all of them that had strategy that came from gossip and not the gospel, all of them that thought you would be silenced, and right there at that table with all of them sitting there with you, God's not just going to give you one dose. He's going to give you a double dose, because a double portion signifies this is the one that I have chosen for greater. Can I tell you that God says that you are baptized in significance, that there is destiny and purpose that is on your life, and God is about to notify every devil in hell that you are chosen for goodness and greatness on this earth. Double grace and double favor. You see, I got to give you some scripture, or you'll not believe that soon and very soon there's some mountains that are about to be lowered. There are some miracles that are about to be made manifest. And watch, suddenly there are going to be some relationships that are restored and reconciled. Suddenly, somebody say amen. This is your season of grace and favor. The prophet Zechariah says in chapter 4, verse 7, who are you? There have been some times in my life when I heard the chatter that I just had to ask, who do they think they are? And I've come to tell you that grace and favor, when God gets it on you and gets it in you, you will rise against the opposition. When the doctor tries to give the diagnosis, when the bank says we're going to have to take it back, when there's chatter of the culture, you will simply speak through your eyes and mouth of faith and say, who are you to rise against God's anointed? He said, who are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you will be made level ground, and he will bring out the top stone amidst shouting of grace, grace. There it is, double grace to the stone. You see, Zerubbabel was graced and favored for the ruins. And I've come to tell you that reconciliation is the language of the righteous. Those that are truly right with God always want to see what is broken put back together. I've come to let you know that the righteous never dances over the ruins. Those that celebrate the fall, the collapse of others are not from heaven, they're from hell. Because the righteous always want to see what was in ruins rebuilt. You need some righteous people in your life, not some gossip people in your life. You need some gospel people that can see the broken areas of your life and understand it is the intent of God to fix every part of you that has ever been wrong. You need some people not trying to expose you. You need some people that are trying to elevate you and cover you and heal you. For this is the lifestyle of grace and faith. Favor. Zerubbabel was anointed with grace and favor to rebuild the ruins of the temple. You see, restoration is the result of grace and favor. Bishop Dell did so good last night preaching to us about grace and favor and how the enemy wants to stop you from being positioned to receive grace and favor. And here's why. When grace and favor are activated in your life, what is in ruins comes alive again. You see, God's grace and favor doesn't just make the bad good, it makes the dead live again. And there's some parts of you that have been dead. There's some parts of your mind not working right, but God's going to give you the grace and favor and restore your mind. You're about to get younger before you walk out of the tabernacle this morning. There's some dreams that have died on the inside of you that you have listened to the wrong voices. You've listened to the critics instead of the Christ. But by the time we leave here today, there's grace and favor that is going to consume you, and your dreams are going to come alive again. Push your neighbor, say, neighbor, I'm going to live again. Ah, you see, it's tragic. For 70 years, understand the historical context of the scripture that the temple had been in ruins for 70 years. 70 years, what was beautiful, what was glorious has been in ruins as a result of disobedience, because disobedience always brings destruction. But grace will rebuild what you broke down. 70 years, the temple that was so beautiful was in ruins. But then God graced a man to rebuild the ruins. It's tragic how many of so-called Christian people can walk by the ruins and be okay with it. Walk by a man that is broken and less than what he used to be and just walk on by. It's tragic how many so-called spirit-filled people can walk by people. They're in a place of misery, hurt, and despair, and not even say hello. It's amazing how many Christian people can shout on Sunday and then go home and care not about the one that lives across the street from them, that their marriage is in crisis. God, give the church a cry of concern again that walks in grace and favor, that has a desire to see God rebuild everything hell has ever broken. You see, I'm not thrilled that you can speak in tongues or you got to learn dance taught tongues. Show me that God has given you grace and favor. And when you wake up in the morning, you are an agent of cultural change. And it is the desire of your heart for God to use your hands to rebuild someone's life. Oh, this is the gospel. This is why Hope City must exist. This is why Pioneer Christian Television must exist. God wants to rebuild everything the devil's ever tore down. You see, I've come to tell you, those of you that are connected to Pastor Epperly, that you are graced and you are favored. You are a repairer. You are a rebuilder. You are a restorer. And you should shout, because soon and very soon, you're going to have to bust open these walls and extend the walls in the back, because you're going to declare grace and favor in a way that nobody else dares to do it. And people are going to come from the north and the south and the east and the west, because they're desperate to get in the atmosphere of restoration and reconciliation. What seemed impossible yesterday will become the reality today. And God will turn the ashes to beauty. There are families that are going to be restored, relationships that were torn apart that are coming back together again. Glory is about to invade the story. I've come to let you know that Zerubbabel was sent to restore the temple, but Jesus was sent to restore you. This is a prophetic insight, a picture here, if you will, of the coming of Christ. Understand that Zerubbabel, his purpose, his destiny, all those things are to rebuild the ruins of God's temple, to make it shine again. Can I tell you, God's about to do a new thing. There will be a third final awakening where the church of Jesus Christ is going to shine again with compassion and love and mercy and grace and faith and favor. Amen. Zerubbabel, Zechariah says about Zerubbabel, he says to the mountain, whatever opposition it is to the plans to restore, he says that God's going to flatten you out. He said there will be the top stone, or some translations say the capstone, that will be inserted, and then we will shout grace, grace, and the mountain will then bow. You see, the top stone or the capstone is different than the cornerstone. You hear preachers preach about the cornerstone, but not about the capstone or the top stone. The top stone is the final piece of stone for a completed work. So Zerubbabel is facing opposition like you're facing opposition, because they said you'd never laugh again, but here you are. They said you'd never prosper again, but here you are. They said that your divorce, your debt, your disease, your diagnosis, all the different things would stop you from ever accomplishing anything of significance, but here you are with destiny on the inside of you, the blood of Jesus that has restored you, trying to stand again. And there is a mountain of opposition, and here's what the prophet said. We will insert the top stone, the capstone, and to the stone we shall shout, grace, grace, double grace, and the mountain will bow. Well, the top stone is that final piece of work. Can I tell you that Christ is about to insert himself into your crisis? Can I tell you that your puzzle's not all together yet? There is a missing piece. You see, the critics have been criticizing what they heard on the internet, and the critics have been going about you because of what they heard about you through gossip, and your doctor's looking at what the report says from the x-ray X-ray and the MRI. But what the enemy does not know is that your life is not yet all together. There's a final piece of the puzzle. There's another stone that's about to be layered. And I come to tell you it's a season of grace and favor, and your pastor is anointed to get you to the top stone, to get you to the capstone, where Christ is about to insert himself into your situation, and you're about to look at every devil and say, how you like me now? The final piece has been inserted. What you were criticizing was the incomplete story. You jumped on the bandwagon and you criticized what was not yet complete, but God is about to put his stamp of approval on my life and say, how you like them now? Ah. You see, God's got grace and favor to restore you to your original self, where you were created in the image of God. Christ, you know that Jesus that walked into the room and he heard the sound of music and mourning as there was the little girl that was dead. And he said, turn off the music. He said, stop the mourning. She's not dead. She's just asleep. I'm about to wake her up. But your Bible says they scornfully laughed. You know, there's some people that have laughed at the thought of seeing you ever prosper. There are voices that laughed at the thought. They thought they crucified you and put you in the grave, and that's where you're going to be forever. Jesus loves to deal with the laughter of the critics. The Bible says he dismissed them. I come to let you know through grace and favor, God's about to dismiss some voices from your life. God's about to kick out the doubt and the unbelief that's in your room so he can do a work in your life. He kicked them out, and the Bible says he raised that little girl from the dead, and the whole town began to talk about how God had restored life to a little dead girl. Can I tell you that the whole world's going to talk about Hope City Church and how you have boldly proclaimed the grace and favor of God, and Jesus Christ continues to insert himself into circumstance and situation and has proven that he is the solution to every situation, and there is restoration and there is life where there has been death. The whole town's going to talk about what Jesus is doing at Hope City Church, and you ought to celebrate it, for this is your season of grace and favor that produces an acceleration. You see, the top stone is the final piece, and I come to let you know that Jesus says that he and he alone will have the final word about your life, your situation this morning. He said, Zechariah, who are you? So he was ready to go to work. He was ready to restore the ruins. And yet there is some kind of opposition that is trying to stop Zerubbabel from going to work. And there will always be opposition to restoration. There will always be a voice that says, just let them lay there dead. There'll always be a voice that says, just let them stay there in their own mess. But it's not the voice of heaven. I said, it's not the voice of heaven. You see, opposition is just resistance to God's ordained purpose. I come to let you know that when you face opposition to restoration, that it's not the dead end, it's just the green light, you're on the right path. You see, I come to let you know that resistance is just the enemy's reaction. When someone is reacting to your restoration, it's just an indicator that the devil is at work in their life. Resistance is just the enemy's behavior and reaction to the unstoppable plan of God. For here's a great gospel truth. Hell only fights what heaven has already approved. Hell's only fighting against what God has already approved. He approved your health, and so the devil's trying to attack it. He approved the restoration of your marriage, so hell's trying to fight against it. Hell only fights what heaven has already proved. You see, the size of your opposition is just confirmation of your true calling and destiny that's on your life. But you got to learn to stop giving your problem a platform and give your problem a proclamation. You got to quit giving your problems platforms and learn to give your problem a proclamation of God's grace and favor. God didn't call you and empower you to spend your life whining and complaining about the opposition that is in your life. He didn't call you to make 33 posts on social media, "Oh, woe is me," about the opposition that has coming against you. This is why great leaders of the faith that are connected from our lineage have never answered the critics, because they don't get engaged talking about the problem. They've learned to talk to the problem, and the problem is never the person that rises against you. It's the spirit that has manipulated them to rise against you. You see, you got to stop giving your problem a platform and give it a proclamation. That book says that if I confess my sin, that he is faithful and just to forgive me and to cleanse me of all of my unrighteousness. I'm going to proclaim to the enemy that I am saved by faith in grace in Jesus Christ, and I walk in the favor of God. Somebody ought to shout this morning. Who are you, O mountain? You see, there will always be opposition to restoration. There were people that wanted to see the temple remain in ruins. And can I tell you that the truth is, there are people in your life that want to see you stay in ruins. They don't want to see you get it all back. They don't want to see you rise above it. There are people that want to see you stay in a place of misery, hurt, and despair. But watch me while this gospel preacher just exposes the intent of why they can't cheer for you and why not everyone wants to see you whole. But before I expose why, I must declare this to you, that your healing is not for their approval, it's for God's glory. Come on. You see, restoration, which is the result of God's grace and favor, threatens those that benefit from your brokenness. Oh, I'm gonna teach you a thing. You see, there are people that benefit by chattering about your brokenness. And so when God begins to clean it all up, when God begins to reposition you, when God begins to sanctify you, when God begins to reconcile you unto himself, those that have benefited from you being down are threatened because they jumped on the wrong bandwagon. They didn't even realize that they were joining with a host of hell instead of a host of heaven, that were declaring for one of God's anointed to stay in the place of misery instead of grab their miracle, rise up in grace and favor, be restored to the image of God, and accomplish something for the kingdom of Jesus Christ. I've come with grace and favor to tell you your story's not over. I've come to tell you it's time to get back up. I've come to tell you that it's Hope City and God's got grace and favor for this city. You're going to rise again, believe again, dream again. You've got an apostolic voice that covers you, that says God is for you. And if God be for you, who can be against you? You see, favor always wins. I said favor always wins. And Pastor Parsley teaches that grace doesn't look back at what was lost. It looks forward to what God is building. You see, you got to get ready, because God's about to make your mountain bow. He's about to activate grace and favor in your life. When the ruins tell the story of loss, God's about to write a restoration chapter in your life by the power of the resurrected Christ. When life falls apart, God's grace doesn't just fix it, he transforms it. You need to shout, because God's about to rebuild your life on this Sunday morning. I am a legacy preacher, which simply means this. I don't believe that this is an industry. I believe it's a ministry. And I got just enough sense to know that when God said, "I'm going to do a new thing," he did not say, "I'm going to do a different thing." When God said he's going to do a new thing, he didn't say he was going to change the ingredients to what he was doing. He's just saying, "I'm going to do it new. I'm going to do it for you." What he was saying is, what I've done in past generations, I'm going to do for the current generation. Preachers need to learn that we're not here trying to be some pop stars, trying to come up with our best one-hit wonder or our best soundbite. We're trying to activate the ingredients of heaven to transform lives, and there's a difference. That we're here to make the name of Jesus famous. Somebody ought to say amen. I believe there is a blessing and a return to the discarded values of the past. I believe in Hebrews that we're supposed to remember our leaders, honor them, consider the outcome of their life, and then imitate their faith. And I believe that Zechariah is having a legacy moment here, that he understands that God has blessed Zerubbabel. He has graced and favored him to rebuild the ruins. It's not supposed to look like that. We got to fix it. Yet there's opposition that's coming against him. And I believe that he had a legacy moment. I believe that he heard the voices of past generations. Hebrews says we're surrounded by a cloud of great witnesses. You see, there are some that because they ran, you can now run. And I believe that from another world, he heard what had been preserved throughout Scripture. I believe that he heard what Jeremiah said, where God spoke to Jeremiah in a place of desolation, in a place of ruins. And God would say to Jeremiah again. Oh, I could preach all afternoon if I didn't have to get to Pottstown, Pennsylvania and preach tonight about again. Look at your neighbor and say again. No, grace again. And then grace again. And then grace again, and favor, and then favor again and again and again. God's never going to run out of grace and favor for your life. He's going to do it again. He said, again, I will build you. Saying, I built you into something of significance once, and you done messed it all up. You went and got yourself in a mess. And hell wants to rejoice. And carnal Christians want to gossip. But God said, I want to rebuild you again. I've come to let you know there's grace for your mind, there's grace for your heart, there's grace for your spirit. And what God intends to do is build you again. He's going to make you laugh again. He's going to make you giggle again. You're about to get your happy back by the time we leave here today, for God is about to release a wave of grace and favor through Hope City Church. I'm telling you, I prophesy in the name of Jesus what you are doing, Pastor Epperly, by taking the voices of these great leaders and taking it to millions. There's about to be a wave of holy laughter. There's about to be those that have been crying themselves to sleep at night, but they're going to hear the gospel that transforms their life. And they're going to believe again. You ought to celebrate with me this morning. Zechariah understood. He said, I'll build again, O virgin of Israel. You see, Israel wasn't acting like a virgin. Yet even in the perverted version of themselves, God still speaks to them and refers to them as he created them pure and holy. You see, the stain and the stench of your sin that's all over you because of what Jesus did on Calvary, when he looks at you, he says, oh, Holy One. What you did last night, God's graced you for that. And God, if you have dealt with that and you've brought that to the altar of God and he's altered you at the altar and you've received forgiveness and grace, all the stain, all the stench, God doesn't see that on you. He sees you pure and holy, created in the image of God. Shake off what has so easily beset you. Oh, don't let someone bewitch you and below you and make you feel like you are less than. God died to put you on the top of the ticket. Amidst this, God says, I'll build you again, O virgin of Israel. You will again be adorned with your tambourines, and you shall go forth in the dances of those who make merry. You see, grace and favor are going to rebuild your story. Dr. Sumrall, my pastor, says that when you walk in favor, lack becomes a stranger. You say, now, hold on. I know where you come from. You must be one of those prosperity preachers. And I would submit to you, I am definitely not a poverty preacher. I do believe that if you want to understand the intent of God, go back to where God first created you and understand what he said about you. This is the intent of God for your life, no matter what some backslidden, sissified, puppeteer, backstreet wannabe preacher said to you. Here's what the gospel says. That God created man in his image. And then God blessed them. It is the intent of God to bless you supremely. Don't sing songs about him being a good, good father and then believe he owns everything and wants you to have nothing. He didn't die for you to be a peasant. He died for you to be a prince and a princess in the kingdom of his. Amen. And then he said, after he blessed them, he said, now multiply. It's the intent of God not only to bless you, but to multiply that which he's blessed in your life. And I'm here to tell you that there's grace and favor to deal with anything that's ever messed up the intent of God in your life. Your story's not over. I remember a time in my life where I had drifted. And I was consumed with ministry many decades ago. And I had a friend of mine that got a hold of me. I was pastoring in the great state of Texas. And I had a friend that got a hold of me and said, I'm watching you and from a distance. And he was in North Carolina. And he said, you don't look good. He said, you're weary. And he said, I want to bring you to North Carolina. He said, you need some Holy Ghost infusion in your life. And so I went to North Carolina to go see my friend. It was in the middle of the winter. I'll never forget this. And my friend, he put me in his nice Jeep Wrangler and he took me into the mountains of North Carolina and there was snow everywhere. And we got to the top of the mountain and he stopped the Jeep. And he said to me, God said to tell you, get out. I said, I didn't hear that command. Someone's misinterpreting your tongue. He said, God said, tell you get out. I said, you're serious? He said, I'm serious. I said, well, what are you going to do? He said, I'm going to leave you here. I said, when are you coming back? He said, whenever God says to. I wasn't happy. I got out of the Jeep. I was mad and angry. And there he drove off. And I heard a sound. It was the sound of a stream. I love water. I always have the sound of water. And so I walked until I found this beautiful river right there in the mountain of North Carolina. And God spoke to me. God said to me, he said, son, do you hear the sound of that water? I said, yes, Lord, I hear it. Then he said to me, he said, son, do you see all the rocks that are in the water? I said, yes, Lord, I see that. He said, you see, the sound that you hear is because the water is going over, under, and around those rocks. And he said to me, son, there's some areas in your life that you've never allowed my grace to cover. And then God said to me, you've been standing on the banks of the river telling everybody else to get in the water, but you've not got into it fully yourself yet. And God said to me, he made me a promise that day in the mountains of North Carolina where it was freezing and the water had actual ice in it. He said, if you'll get in the water, he said, all of those rocks represent your sin, your fault, your failures. And he said, I'm not going to remove the rocks. I'm going to cover the rocks. And he said that if you'll get in the water of God's grace, then favor will come suddenly. And then God said to me, if you get in the water, son, then I will cover every mistake and I will cover every sin and I will cover every mishap. And then he made me a promise. He said, I will make a sound so beautiful come from you that it will reach the nation. Little did I know a few decades later that I'd have an opportunity to speak in cameras and speak in churches all over America, speaking about the beauty of the resurrected Christ and that God's grace and his favor is for you. I ran into that water as fast as I could, took myself a Holy Ghost dive. As soon as I come up out of the water, there was my friend with a blanket that wrapped me, and I've been walking in the grace and the favor of God, releasing a beautiful sound of grace and favor. And And there is no devil in hell that can silence the voice of God's grace and favor. I'm here to tell you that God is absolutely for you. There's nothing you can do to separate yourself from the love of God. Shake off what everyone's ever said about you. Shake off the diagnosis. Shake off the depression. Evict the anxiety. God is for you, and it's His intent to bless you. He said, the stone that I've set before Joshua, listen to Zechariah 3:9. He says, there is this single stone. You see, there is a single solution to your mess. It's Jesus. He said, no, if you're righteous, get ready to get offended. He said, I'll engrave an inscription. God just might give you a tattoo. He said, I'll engrave an inscription, says the Lord. He says, I'll remove the iniquity of this land in one day. God could speak to an entire land and say, in one day, I will remove all of the iniquity in just one day. Can you look over to your neighbor and say, neighbor, today is my one day. You ought to shout, this is the day that God removes the stain. This is the day that God removes the stench. This is the day of God's grace. This is the day of God's favor. This is the day that God takes everything the devil took and made it wrong. This is the day that every one of your mistakes, your mishaps, every time you got turned around, this is the one day where God makes it all right. You know, history tells us that Lancaster, Pennsylvania had its one day. September 27th, 1777 was the one day for Lancaster, Pennsylvania, where the capital of the United States was here for one day. And can I tell you that prophetically, it is just a reminder of what God can do in one day. Lancaster had its day, but Hope City is about to have its day. It's a day of grace and favor. But God would say to Zerubbabel, he said, now listen, you've got this opposition that rises against you, but you can't win against it. Okay, you can't do it on your own. He said, it won't be by might and it won't be by power. The problem is that you know God wants to restore you. You know God wants to make it right. You know God wants to reconcile relationships between you and your children, you and your grandchildren, you and your neighbor. I mean, my God, God's so good, he wants to make that cat of yours purr again. He wants to make your dog wag his tail again. I mean, God wants to invade your story and make it right. But there's opposition. And you are wearing yourself out trying to fight the opposition. But it is not the intent of God for you to fight your own battle. God's just waiting on you to get weary enough to say, I'm just gonna go sit my blessed assurance down on the bench and let the coach put somebody else in. And God is about to send in the Holy Spirit, activated on your behalf, that is going to deal with the mountains of opposition that have stood against you. It is not by your power. It is not by your strength. God doesn't need your strength. He needs your surrender. He doesn't need your strength. He needs you to surrender. I surrender to your will, which is to bless me. I think I'll surrender to that. Today is your day to stop fighting a fight you were never intended to fight. For Christ deals with it himself. He comes and says, my spirit says the Lord. Zechariah shouted, grace, grace. You see, Charles Spurgeon said, a shout of grace is louder than a roar of opposition. The Prince of Preachers said that a shout of grace is louder than a roar of opposition. There is a sound. It's that same sound I heard in the mountains of North Carolina. There is a sound of God's grace. There is a sound of God's favor. there is the sound of the capstone being placed as the final piece of the puzzle. There is a sound that can silence every principality that comes against you. It is the shout of praise in response to God's grace and favor. Psalms 81:10, this is, according to Pastor Parsley, those of us that are connected to him, this is our scripture of the decade where God would say, open up your mouth. Now, we don't have a problem with that. Open up your mouth and give your problem a proclamation. Yes, sir. Give your diagnosis a declaration. Yes, sir. Give your devil an eviction notice. The words that you speak, so shall it be. There's an anointing of grace and favor that it's not your might, it's not your power, it's God's spirit that is attracted to your praise, that accompanies your praise, and then responds with restoring and renewing every aspect of your life. Would you stand with me this morning? I believe there are many of you that have been just walking, living in the midst of the ruins. You've just accepted it. That's the way that it is. That's the way that it'll always be. Not today. God's got grace. God's got favor for you. God wants to restore your mind. He wants to restore your money. He wants to restore your hope. He wants to restore your family. God wants to spiritually straighten you up today. I wonder, as you close your eyes, you see, humility is required. Humility is required. Pastor Parsley once taught me, he said, here's how you build the bridge: hard work, honesty, and humility. And I come looking today for those that have been discouraged for way too long. You've just been going through the motions. The enemy's come, as Bishop Dale preached last night, and destroyed everything you got to make a sacrifice. But Christ has become your sacrifice. And today's the day with just one touch. Just one touch. He will make it right. If you're believing for God for any type of restoration in your life, nobody's looking but me, I want you to just raise up your hand. I'm believing for some kind of restoration today. I see those hands. I see those hands. And I'm going to count to three, and I'm going to ask you to step out of your seat, come to this altar, and I'm going to pray for you. And I'm going to believe God's grace and favor to invade your life in the way he's invaded mine. 3, 2, 1. Those of you that raised your hand, just come boldly. Come boldly to the altar and declare, I'm going to be altered at the altar of God this morning. I'm going to get my joy back. I'm going to get my hope back. I'm getting my life back today. This is my day, says the Lord. This is my day. Oh. Can we rejoice as they come? Can we rejoice of what the Lord is doing, that so many have said, I'm done living in the ruins. I'm done living in the lack. I'm going to silence the sound of the critics and those that have said that I can't, and I surrender today to the voice of the Christ that says, I can and I shall. Those of you that have come, just reach out your hands towards heaven like you're about to receive something. Ah, Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for every Bible believer that is here today. Lord, we've had enough of them living in the ruins. We know that you're the God of restoration. You are the God of renewal. So, Lord, I pray that you would renew bodies in the name of Jesus. I pray that you would renew their health in the name of Jesus. I reverse the curse in the name of Jesus, and every diagnosis is evicted from this room today. Cancer is gone. Alzheimer's gone in the name of Jesus, our Christ. I pray for divine health in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray for hope, ambition to return in the name of Jesus. The hope of glory invades their story now. Bless them, Jesus, with grace and favor. Grace and favor. Oh, there's a healing for families today. Your sons and daughters are coming home, says the Lord. God's going to wake them up in the midst of their misery. God's going to break the chains of addiction off of them forever. The Lord says, I'm bringing the prodigals home, says the Lord. You've returned to me, I shall return them to you, says the Lord. I sense the Lord. I sense the Lord ministering to the grieving of parents and grandparents. In the name of Jesus, give hope where there is no hope. Strength where there is no strength. Lord, you're giving dreams back. You're giving hope back. The Lord said to tell you it's all right to believe again. The Lord said from this day forward, you'll never fear again. I hear the Lord saying to tell you what God said to me the first time Pastor Parsley ever had a microphone in his hand looking into my eyes. He saw a man in a misery. He saw a man in pain and despair. And he looked me right in the eyes and said these words to me, it's going to be as if it never happened. God's going to remove the memory. He's going to replace the moment. God's grace and his favor shine upon you. Jesus, oh, your dreams are coming back. Your ambition is returning. Oh, the creative ideas are beginning to flow again, says the Lord. God's greatest hits are not in the past, they're in the present. Lord says, behold, I'm about to do something present in your life. I declare healing, grace, and favor. Oh Lord, you said the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous people would accomplish much. Together we confess that we are sinners in need of a Savior. We confess our sin to you, and we confess that by your grace we are restored to the image of a glorious, righteous King. And from this restored position, we receive the renewing, the ministry of reconciliation in our lives. We declare that this is our one day. This is our one day at Hope City. This is our one day of hope and grace and favor that transforms everything. If you believe that the Lord has returned your joy, returned your peace, returned your present and your future, returned your family, returned it all, I dare you to just give the Lord a shout and a clap of praise. You got your shout back, you got your smile back, you got your praise back, you're getting your family back. Your purpose. Oh, Pastor, I just saw it in the Spirit. In the same way the Holy Spirit descended like a dove, purpose has come to Hope City. The Holy Spirit in the form of purpose has landed upon each and every one of you, that you hold your head up high. You hold your head up high. You're baptized in excellence. You're created to succeed. You're not here to take sides, you're here to take over.
Come on now.
And from this day forward, you shall reign and the ruins are no more. Give Jesus a good celebration.